Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Tonight's guests have been working on a project that has been slowly simmering for years. Released last year, the two-part I Will Not Be Shaken compilation features a CD with all of Steve Bell's songs based on the Psalms and a book co-written by Bell and friend and pastor Jamie Howison. Combined, the book and CD present a powerful package that gives you a look at Bell's songwriting process and, through Howison's commentary, the power of the Psalms. Steve and Jamie are on the phone with us from Winnipeg tonight to talk about the project. But before we get to our interview, let's listen to The Lord Has Done Great Things from the I Will Not Be Shaken CD by Steve Bell.
When the Lord brought out the captives, when He set the prisoners free, it was just like in a dream. And our mouths were filled with laughter, and our tongues with songs to sing. Yes, it was just like a dream. Was said amongst the nations that the Lord has done great things. Oh, the Lord has done great things. Has done
yes,
great
he set
things.
The captives free.
Fill our tongues
with laughs,
with songs to sing.
Oh, my Lord has surely done great things.
Restore to us our fortunes, Lord. Give life to dying streams.
And now to our conversation with Jamie House and Steve Bell. Good evening, Steve.
How are you doing?
Good. Good evening, Jamie.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. Well, Jamie, I want to start with you. I've talked to Steve a couple of times before, and want to get a little bit of background on you. Along with I Will Not Be Shaken, you've also written a book on the music of John Coltrane.
Yep.
And Come to the Table, which is about St. Benedict's table, which you're the pastor of. A number of other things. What started you on the path to writing?
It really began in earnest mid-90s. I was working as a chaplain, pastoral care person at a treatment center for adolescent girls. And they were kids who had just a lot of pain and a lot of complexities in their lives. And I discovered that one of the ways that I could kind of process that and carry all of the hurt that they would sort of share with me was to write about it. And so one of the first pieces I wrote, sort of article-length pieces, was actually picked up right away by Sojourners magazine. And it had to do with the problem of evil and when evil is done to young kids. And that kind of opened me up as a writer.
Well, as you've developed your writing and that, have you had anybody that you've particularly looked at as influences in your writing style?
Oh, yes. I have a fairly deep affection for a writer named Robert Ferrer Capon, who has since shuffled off this mortal coil. But Robert was a priest of the Episcopal Church, so the Anglican Church in the United States, and a theological writer. But he was also a food writer, and his writing about food was actually theologically informed and celebrative, and it was just wonderful. And he was a bit of a wild man, and his writing style was so, you could so hear his voice. And he encouraged me to write more. He became a kind of a mentor, and he encouraged me to write more and to find my voice. Mm-hmm. So he's been the guy that has shaped me more than anybody else.
So as you've been going on this journey, do you consider yourself a pastor who writes or a writer who pastors?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it's probably a pastor who writes. But I understand writing to be a pretty central part of my vocation. In that, I've been influenced by Eugene Peterson, who was insistent that one of the things that pastors can do in the exercise of ministry is to write.
Uh-huh. Well, Steve, turning to you, and we've talked about your songwriting process in the past and that, but in this particular case, what is it about the Psalms that draws you to them as a source for some of the songs that you've written?
I think the Psalms are the poem prayers that opened me up to the possibility of praying. When I was growing up as a kid, I was brought up in an Baptist evangelical culture, and daily prayer was a very significant and important part of our spiritual walk or way. And I just found it a very, very difficult exercise. I just, even as a kid, didn't quite understand the point of telling God what God apparently already knew. and it just seemed weird and felt very, very much like that prayers sort of hit the ceiling and bounced back. But it was in my mid-20s, when I sort of discovered the Psalms and just found this poetic language. And I think that was it. The thing for me was that it was getting out of didactic language and moving into poetic language that I first started to find deeper prayer, the possibility of it. It really moved me deeply, and I realized that words carry more than initial surface value. And once I started recognizing that in the Psalms, and then started recognizing myself in the Psalms, prayer opened up for me in a new way, and songwriting opened up for me.
Well, in doing that, I mean, are there any Psalms right now that you've been drawn to that you just haven't been able to craft into a song right now?
Yeah, most of them.
Well, I know, I think there's, 17?
I mean, nothing that I'm working on at this particular moment that I'm struggling with. I don't really try to write with the Psalms. It's more that as I read them, melodies come from time to time. So it's not like I'm sort of opening them up daily and saying, okay, I need to try to get, Psalm 48 into a song. It's more that one day I'll be reading Psalm 48, and there'll be a particular reason that at that time in my life, that this will jump out at me, and melody will start to form, the song will come.
Does it help knowing the fact that the Psalms were songs themselves in the original context?
I think so. And people often talk to me about, I have been, I think, falsely called a poet. I'm not a poet. I'm a lyric writer to melodies. And the reason why that's different is that I have learned that melody is a very particular form of language, and melodies can say things that words can never say. And so I've never really written bare poetry that doesn't need melody to say what it wants to say. And I've found that when you take the Psalms and you put melody to them, they just pop. They just all of a sudden, well, they sing, obviously. But you give the original forms were such, they weren't written as bare poetry. They were written for this other language to go with them to sort of complete what the words are inadequate to say. And I just get that from my own experience.
Right. Well, what I'm going to do is, looking at time, take a quick break, and then we're going to continue our conversation with Steve Bell and Jamie Howison. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
The Lord of life is my shepherd. With his staff and his rod, he is here to comfort my fears. Though I walk through the valley, I walk with his hand in mine. Thought I my last breath in the shadows of death, but I'm still here, safe on the other side. It's here with the waters beside, cool in the grasses I lie. Gently restores. He's the shepherd of life.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Shepherd of Life from Steve Bell's I Will Not Be Shaken CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Steve Bell and Jamie Howison. Jamie, in the introduction to the book that accompanies, that's part of this package, the CD and the book, you write in the introduction, this project has been slowly simmering for years. What took so long for the I Will Not Be Shaken project to become a reality?
Well, I mean, this is sort of our stock joke. Every time we get asked to speak about this project, we inevitably end up here. It was 2004 that Steve first kind of had this idea. In the early winter, you know, I would love to do this thing, and we would, you know, put together the sort of the psalms that he'd written music for, and I would write kind of pastoral reflections, and he would write sort of writer's notes, songwriter's notes, and we'd create this book. Well, as it happened, I was about to launch out on a 3-week study leave, and I had the opportunity to spend 10 days of that in Saskatoon at the little theological college there. And I didn't really have any agenda except for to read and write, and so I just started to write. And I came back home in like February of 2004 and handed this sheaf of first drafts of these chapters to Steve.
I was staggered. Like, I was sort of thinking of it as a longer process, but...
And so, you know, it was kind of like, oh, let's go on this. But life kind of takes over, and you know, Steve's ministry is so tied to the cycles of the music industry,
right?
That, you know, the timing wasn't right then to do this, and then it kind of brought it back up front again for a little while, and then with something else happened, and then 2008 crashed, and it was just sort of one thing after another. So I wondered if maybe I hadn't just written these as a nice discipline. and then about a year ago, we sat down. It was like, no, it's time. And so I returned to all of those drafts and did some rewrites and a significant kind of joint rewriting of that introductory chapter. And so, you know, it's not as if it just dusted it off the shelf. But... And I think I know more, or I'm immersed deeper in the Psalms than I was in 2004. So that's part of the simmer.
Well, when you were looking at, like when you initially wrote the reflections, and as you were looking back on them and redrafting them and recrafting them, what got your attention? Like, what were some of the focuses that you had as you were developing the book itself?
I think the invitation had been to do sort of pastoral theological reflection, and to not be afraid of my own voice. And so for me, the hook was, listen to this song and read the lyric, and then look at the psalm, or in some cases, psalms that lay behind it. And then just kind of meditate a little bit, reflect a little bit quietly on, so what pops for me personally? And sometimes it's connected to a story, you know, between Steve and I. There's one case, it's actually the Psalm 23. One is Steve's dad and I. In other cases, it was very much more a response to the psalm text. But it was the freedom to just listen, read, pray, write that was for me the kind of the freeing thing.
Well, for me too, asking Jamie to write on them, it wasn't so much that I wanted him to write about what I had done or what the psalmist had done, but to take like both, you know, the song, the psalm, and then to do a third thing. You know, that was the whole idea in the first place was to get at another thing.
Yeah.
Altogether, and that's what made it interesting even for me.
Yeah.
Well, and what's neat about it too as well with Steve is you looking back and trying to recapture the process of writing it. What's it like? I mean, it's almost like going back and trying to remember how you baked a cake, type of thing. You know, what was the recipe? How was it for you as you were going back and looking back at these songs and trying to go through what you were going through as you wrote them?
Sorry, were you referring to me?
Yes.
Oh,
sorry. As you were going through, as you were recapturing them,
I have thought about this lately. Like, if I was approaching these same texts today, I'd write very, very different songs. I mean, most of these songs were written, my renderings of them were written in the late 80s and early 90s, and of course, I'm now, like, significantly older, a lot more experience. So I'm kind of glad, though, that they happened when they did, you know, because I was young and frightened, you know, really, in the end, that was really, and I recall that when I read the, you know, even Jamie's text, when I go back to the songs and try to think about what was going on with me, the time they came out, I mean, that would be the basic stance. I was young and frightened. I was newly married. We were broke. I didn't really understand who I was as a person. The world itself was frustrating to me and sometimes quite wearying. And just sort of realize that all this agony and all this lament and all this hope and desire is embedded in these songs that gave them voice. I'm glad they happened when they did. And I think a lot of those songs wouldn't get written now because I think at some level I'm a lot more at peace, in a sense. And they'd come from a very different place.
Well, one of the things I found interesting as I was listening to the CD is the variety of styles that is created. I mean, you go everything from bluegrass to, you know, slow ballads, you know, the whole gamut of musical styles. When you were in the process of writing the songs, did the psalms themselves lend them to a specific musical style, or was it sort of a trial and error, this is going to work best with this, or you know, work us through that process of helping decide what style you were going to write them in?
You know, that's sort of giving too much credit to the cognition. it really, when I write, I really don't really have in mind a style, or, you know, I don't look at a psalm and says it needs this, it needs that. I mean, I'll be looking at a passage and a particular line will jump at me and a melody will form quickly and a guitar part will come and all of a sudden I've written a bluegrass tune, which I had no intention of doing. Or I've written a lament, or I've written a you know, something lighthearted. It comes as it comes. It's very, very hard to describe, but there's not a whole lot of pre-thought. It's more I'm more of a receiver than I am a penetrator. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's a very, if I could say this, it's a very female process of receiving a seed rather than penetrating with one. I know that's an awkward metaphor, but it actually works.
Yeah, and I mean, I've talked to a number of songwriters over the years, and everyone has their own style. Everyone has their own way of developing the songs and that, and from source material, from their own thoughts, whatever. So, I mean, there's no wrong way of doing it.
But even outside of the songs, there aren't a whole lot of Steve Bell songs where the lyrics are entirely my own. I'm most often responding to poems or texts or prayers that are already there that inspire me. So it's not just the songs. I've been working a lot with Malcolm Guyton in the last couple of years, who's a great poet. I've written several songs to ancient prayers of say St. John of the Cross or John of Kronstadt or some of these others. So for me, I'm most often responding to something that's there rather than sort of just digging into some original thought.
With that, we're going to take one more break, and after this final break, we'll come back and finish a conversation with Jamie Howes and Steve Bell. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Jesus My Glory from the I Will Not Be Shaken CD by Steve Bell. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Steve Bell and Jamie Howison. Jamie, you mentioned when you were developing the reflections that, you know, you would sit, you would read the psalm, you would read the lyrics, you would listen to the song as well. Is that sort of how you envision people pulling this package together, is incorporating all of that, like reading the reflections, listening to the music, all at the same time?
I think that's a great way to approach it. There's an Anglican parish in Winnipeg that decided they wanted to take this on as sort of their book study for the season, and I'm going to join them in a few weeks as they kind of wrap it up. And they asked for some direction, and you know, I said, I think what you should do as a group is invite everybody ahead of time to read, you know, listen to the song, read the psalm, read the reflection, and maybe say, they're doing it over the course of 6 weeks or something, so maybe you do three reflections each time. And then when you come back together for your conversation, play that song again and just listen and use that as kind of the entry point to the discussion about what we've produced as a book. Because
mm-hmm.
I do think that the songs are very much tied to the text of the book. And to hear those songs kind of casts a different light on the written text as well.
Yeah. I found that was what I was doing, is I was reading the text and then I'd listen to the song afterwards, and you're right, there it all pulls in together. Steve, what's been the reaction to the project so far?
I wanted to get out of what I'd hope readers or people that are experiencing this project will get out of it is a freedom for like a fourth thing to happen. You know, we have this initial text that was clearly comes out of somebody's personal experience. Some guy named Edgar Joe or some woman named Mary wrote these things out of an experience that's embedded in an actual historical time. But then there's our engagement in our time, the artistic piece that comes from it, the reflective text that comes in a genius thing, I'm hoping that someone else will take this and kind of, it'll go somewhere else. You know, that we realize that these texts are kind of evergreen. They're not, there's no sort of one place that everybody's meant to land and engage in. I mean, these things are so relational.
Uh-huh.
Not only relational with God, but relational with context, with history. The history they were written in and the history that we're experiencing in now. And there's a freedom to allow the Spirit of God to sort of engage in this whole process with us, to take us somewhere new, take us somewhere unique to our time. And I think that's really, really important.
Right.
Especially, I mean, I grew up in a sort of theological environment where biblical texts are meant to be nailed down to the interpretation or the experience that they're meant. And I just, the older I get, you know, I just don't think that that's what they're for. I think they're evergreen. They're meant to constantly be giving new life.
Well, and as a preacher, I mean, I have to say that, you know, my tradition, we preach the lectionary, so on a 3-year cycle, you keep returning to the same gospels, or the same epistles, or the same psalms. The fascinating thing is, kind of 30 years later, I find I keep discovering new things in those gospel texts or in those psalms, and it's partly because my experience has changed, and partly because as a preacher, I'm responsible for unpacking this for a community. And I know what's going on in my community. And so suddenly some line from a psalm that we're reading that night kind of goes, you know, bang, okay, let me help you access this because I know what's going on in your lives.
Right. Where can people find out more about the I Will Not Be Shaken project?
Probably the easiest way is to just go to stevebell.com. There's a button there for a product, or I'm not quite sure, store, I think it's called.
I think it's called store.
I think it's called store. I mean, it is available in Christian bookstores across the country, so if there's one in your neighborhood, it's likely there.
Yeah. Well, Steve, Jamie, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Robert, thank you.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guests, Jamie Howison and Steve Bell. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at artsconnection.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter at @saylaw13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook or check out the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.